Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Our theme for the cleric this year is the crucified life, preaching Him crucified. The crucified life, preaching Christ and Him crucified. I'd like you to please turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 17 up to verse 31. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, as God chose, yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, the crucified life, preaching Christ and Him crucified. I just want you to see what the Word of God is asking us to see. You know, as I'm reading the Word of God, I see God wanting us to see something. God wanting us to reconsider how God brought us into the ministry. To reconsider where God has picked you from. And to reconsider the privilege and the glory that God has extended to me and to you for putting us in the work of ministry. The story of Eli and his sons came so strongly on my mind as I was looking at the privilege of being in the ministry and the privilege of preaching Christ and preaching Christ and Him crucified. The privilege of being a custodian of the word of life. The privilege of being the one that God has allowed to handle the oracles. The privilege when Eli and his sons were in the ministry, and Eli was the high priest, and his two sons, Ophni and Phinehas, they were supporting their father, they were the officiating ministers, and several things were going wrong, and the word of the Lord became scarce, because God no more visits the altar, because the men that are standing on the altar, they have broken their relationship with God. They are no more honoring the call and the covenant and their ordination. They have taken the privilege of being in the ministry for granted. I noted that when people came to the altar, they treated the altar with contempt. They treated the call of God on their lives as if it meant nothing. When people brought offering, they forgot that this offering is the offering of the Lord, which they were only being given a privilege to administer or to officiate. They forgot that even though when the people have brought their offering to the altar and the blood of the lamb or whatever had been sprinkled on the altar and whatever God had directed, God said, I have given my offering to the children, of Aaron, the priest. They forgot that it was God's offering that he gave to them. And unconsciously, they began to treat the work of the Lord as if it was ordinary. They began to take the work of God as if it was casual. When the people brought the offering, instead of offering it to the Lord first, they came with their flesh hooks. They are looking for the best of the meat. They were saying, give to the priest first, otherwise we are not going to officiate your offering. And the people will be begging them, say, please now, I'm not saying you will not take, but let's first offer it to the Lord. Say, will you be teaching us how to do ministry? These things they were doing, they made the ministry obnoxious to the extent that people no more come to the altar. To the extent that even those that are coming, they were no longer coming with any expectation. And by the time these boys became much more reckless, even women that came to the altar to pray, these men no longer fear God. They will be sleeping with the women at the altar. So when God stood up and said, Eli, I have been warning you. I will do a thing in your days that the ears of anybody that hears it will do what? Will tinkle. In one day, I will cancel your priesthood. In one day, I will take off everything concerning you. And there will be nobody again in your clan. And if anyone that was left, he will only be begging and say, please, put me on the roster so I can at least minister, I can have something to eat. said, but I will not give him the privilege of serving God. So this night, I just want to reason with you while I welcome you, to ask you to look at where God has brought you from and the opportunity of being in the work of God, so as to handle it with correctness and with a correct heart. And the passage I've read could give us a general overview, but my desire tonight is not even to go into all of that. I just want to see the privilege, the glorious privilege of being a man, a woman on the pulpit. The privilege of being allowed to handle the word of God. Paul said, and I want you to look at Paul. He spoke something. I will bring it out quickly, and then we shall be praying together tonight. He said, for the preaching of the cross, to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. To the people that are perishing, they think that we are in foolishness. I remember when I announced, I told my mother that I'm now ready to leave all I was doing, that God is calling me. Ah! She cried. She cried. She said, oh, it means everything will scatter. It means you are going to be begging now. She started saying, oh, I will just tell all your brothers to come and carry their children. Since you are going to now be living on charity. She didn't know the glory of being called to serve God. She actually thought that serving the government, which I was doing, was more glorious than stepping into the service of the Almighty God. When my wife also got ready to leave our medical practice to come to serve God on full time, so that we can face the call of God on our lives, and I traveled with her to our father-in-law there, my father there. And as we sat there with her uncle, his only surviving uncle that time, and we said, we have been praying. As you know that we have been going up and down preaching, God is saying that we must face this thing seriously. And that Shade is also going to resign her job and come into this thing. The Baba just shoots up. He put his two hands on his head and started weeping. He said, Kai, those that are pursuing him, they have finally got him. He said, why is it that these people will not leave him alone? What kind of problem is this? They have confused you. This is a serious witchcraft that have come upon you now. How can you do this? You mean you are going to now be begging about? Ah! Oh my God, the way he was crying. Myself and my wife, we don't know what to do. We just stood there. He came and shook me. I said, don't you see? Have they taken away your head? When we allow him to finish crying, we say, well, but you are also a man of God. Baba was a reverend canon in the Anglican communion. But as far as he was concerned, for them, it's no problem. Since he was a retired principal, before he became what he now became. But for this one, young as you are, no! Don't do that! Why was that? They never saw the glory of being called to carry the word of life. Always thought that the pulpit and the ministry is for dropouts, or for those that are tired, or those that could not make it out there in the world. It appears as if that's all that is available for anybody who cannot go far in life. So ministry was regarded as punishment or as an unfortunate thing that happens to unfortunate people. But that is not what concerns me tonight. It is not what others are thinking about the work of ministry. But I want you sitting here tonight, whom God has given a privilege of being involved in the work of God, I want you to see what God has called you into. So that as we set into this cleric this year, two things that we are begging God to do is that the reality of our call and the focus of our call and the message of our call will come so sharply to us and clearly that by the time we are going out from here, we are going fired up. We are going encouraged, rekindled to go and do exploits in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at the word of God, and I want you to follow it very quickly. For it is written, God said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Listen, people will think that foolishness, preaching is foolish. And that is for the people that are foolish. But the Bible says it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, what will happen? God will demonstrate his saving power to those who believe. For the Jews, they are requiring a sign. And they are going up and down, show us a sign for us to believe that you are correct. And the Greeks, since they are very learned, they are asking for philosophical wisdom. But we, what do? We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, whether they are Jews or they are Greeks, Christ, what? The power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, I come to what I'm hearing God saying, see. And that's where I thought I should draw our charge here tonight. See. Verse 26, verse 27, verse 28, and verse 29. Can you please follow me there? And let's draw the issues quickly. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. See, if you were to look, can I ask you, where did you come from? Who are you? What is your pedigree? You will notice that for many of us, the mercy of God that picked us out from the miry clay, the mercy of God that reached out to us, we that were nobody. When I look back at where God went and picked me, anytime I went back home and I went to where I was born, where I was picked, I just say, Kai. So this is what God, this is where he went to pick a man like me out from. And again, I'm asking, Lord, why did you focus on me? Sometimes as I go about preaching from one place to another, meeting different people, shaking hands with people, he done something, I say, if not the gospel. If not the gospel. If not the word of God. Will I ever meet people? I know definitely, without doubt, I will have died in my village. I know it. I will not even have been able to travel 50 kilometers outside my village. I know it. I inherited nothing from my father. There was nothing to inherit. When Baba died and they were distributing his properties, do you know what they shared to me? One pair of shoes that was oversized. That's all I got from my father. Nothing. Nothing. And I'm asking, if not the gospel, where will I have been? If not the word of God, who will I have been? I will have become nothing but a mere non-entity that nobody will ever even hear about. Two weeks ago, I got a call from my primary school classmate. And what was it? He said, your friend, our classmate, whom we sat together in primary school, this man was very brilliant. I always struggled with him. He was always taking first. If I beat him once, he will wake up and the next two times he will push me to the second position. He called me the other day and said, he died. But you see, what touched me, I say, oh God. He struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled, and he died. He died in the village. I was asking my friend, when are we going to bury him? They buried him that same day. Why? There was nothing. There was no reason to keep him. There was nothing. Nobody was there to bury him. He said, let's just pack him. And I was saying, that's my own classmate. We shared desk together from primary 1 to primary 6. Very brilliant. He became nothing. But I remember few years ago, when I went to our hometown, the gospel brought me back home. I was surprised that the gospel can bring a man that was nothing, can bring him to the platform, the gospel. I'm trusting God that you will not live here without paying attention to the call of God on your life. I pray that this call of God will be so serious to you that you will preach Christ with all your strength. That you preach Christ with a sense of gratitude. That you preach Christ with an understanding that is only a privilege. Without Christ, what could I have been? And as I came to the meeting, you know, the meeting was so large. There were about several thousands of people. And I was being brought in. And I saw people, I saw one of the two people I saw that day that made me to cry. I saw my primary school teacher struggling to enter the meeting. The ushers are saying, no. Hey, Baba, there's no space. Baba, there's no space. I felt bad. I said, that's the man. That's the man who taught me from primary 3 to primary 6. This is the man that taught me arithmetic. And see how they are pushing him. Because they think a big man of God has come to town. I say, if they only knew that I'm not a big man, I'm just a boy from the village that God had mercy upon to allow to touch the gospel. So I quickly signal some of those ushers. I say, that's my father. That's Abraham Bile's father. They thought it was my biological father. They quickly ran and say, oh, sorry, sir. Ragule said, you are his father. We should bring you forward. So they came and gave him special seats. That's when I relaxed. And then I saw him himself. He was smiling. So that's my boy. That's my boy. My boy. So I remember that as I finished this, the message, thousands of people, you know how they were saying, oh, we want to touch the man of God. We want him to pray for us. I was also rushing so that my master will not disappear before I greet him. So I went and fell before his face. And I started weeping. And he himself started weeping. He said, Billy, so this is what you will become. So this is what you will become. When I heard that Billy Akane is coming, I said, is that not my primary school boy? I just came with curiosity to see whether you are the one. When I saw that you are the one, I said, eh? So this, that boy, that tiny boy, so this is what he can become. In my lifetime. In my lifetime. So that day, I told him, I said, how did you come? He said, I came, I trekked. Oh, he bothered me. So I said, okay, I will take you home. I put it in my car and then we drove home. He was saying, yes. Really, I know. I know that you are going to become something, but I didn't know that this is what you are going to become. Then my other classmate, the one I was telling you that had just died, I also saw him in the meeting. I came, I said, I called him by his name. Then he said something that touched me. He said, Billy, where you left me is where I am. Everything I tried to do didn't work out. I tried to go to school, no help. I started selling drugs. This is a patent medicine seller. Everything scattered. The wife I married was troubling me, so I married another one. Then as you see now, I married two wives, and the two of them are troubling me. I don't know what to do with my life. I looked at him. That's my classmate. More brilliant than myself. He should have been a professor. But he died in the village. I remember praying for him, leading him to Christ. He said, be praying for me, oh. I missed it, oh. I'm looking at all those whom we shared the same seats together. When the gospel came to single me out and pull me out, and to call me out of darkness unto the marvelous light. But not only that, and he now in his mercy called me to put me in the gospel. Isn't it a privilege? The first time I found myself entering aeroplane, the people don't know what was happening to me. I've never entered an aeroplane before. But the gospel put me in the aeroplane. They came and said, they heard that I can come and preach in Sierra Leone. And they brought me a ticket. I didn't know where to start from. They were saying, you go here. I never understood how aeroplane will carry everybody. So I sat in there and I said, Billy Akane from the village in the aeroplane. Hey! I don't know how to express it. Village man. But the gospel. The gospel. Has God called you? And you are joking with your call? Are you treating the call of God as a mere thing? Are you playing with the grace of God on your life? Are you in the ministry as if it's a punishment? Do you wake up every day only complaining and begrudging God? Or are you taking your life as if it is nothing for God to put you to handle the work of God? The gospel. It looked like foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us who believe, it is the power of God. The gospel. If I could come down and shake you, I would have just been shaking you. Congratulations. For God calling you to be in the ministry. Congratulations. That you are one of those that heaven has earmarked. Not to be a millionaire, but to be a preacher. Hallelujah. When it became clear to me that, what a privilege. What a privilege. Then I knew that I better put all my strength. I better put all that I have to pursue this call of God on my life. Because it's a privilege. When it became clear to me that God has given me what people thought is foolish. The foolishness of preaching. And yet it is by that foolishness of preaching that God has ordained that men will be saved. That men will find help. That men will find deliverance. That men will find the purpose of God for their lives. Then I began to understand that, I'm a privileged man for God putting me into the work of God. This night, as I welcome you, I wish to welcome you with a deep, deep, deep gratitude in my heart. That God has set you apart to be one of those who carry this great instrument for saving souls. It was then I no longer worry my head that somebody is a lawyer, or somebody is a high court judge, or somebody is a banker, or somebody is an engineer, or somebody is something. It no longer bothered me. Because I now realize that the high court judge is wonderful, is learned, is highly respected. But you know, he can only condemn and convict criminals. He has no instrument to save them. But look at me here. Notorious criminals. Notorious sinners that nobody knows how to handle. God gives me the word of God, Christ and Him crucified, and I see criminals kneeling down and say, what must I do to be saved? I see husbands that have come to the point of divorce their wives. Judges have tried. They have brought lawyers. Everybody has tried and they are about to dissolve it. They have even dissolved it. And yet God will give me a word. I will just be preaching this gospel that look like foolishness. And the man is arrested. As Abraham believe, when you put your finger like this, as if you are talking to me, did you know me before? I said, I don't know you. But the gospel knows you. The word of God can locate anybody anywhere. And I've seen people, they rush out like that. And they are crying. They are rolling on the ground. And the next thing, I want to reconcile with my wife. Looking for my wife now. And they will go. And they bring the wife. And I've seen marriages restored. The gospel. The gospel. I have seen the gospel changing men. Changing men. Changing hopeless situations and bringing men, you know, to a newness. I've seen what the gospel can do. And tonight, I wish to ask you, have you seen the gospel? Have you seen the call of God on your life? Wives, have you seen what God has brought you into when you got married to this man whom God has called? Have you thought it was unfortunate? Are you quietly putting pressure on you and saying, hey, this thing you did do, sir, this thing you did do, sir, let's plan for our future. Me, I want to go to London. I wish you understand. Who travels more than a man who carries the gospel? Eh? Who travels more than a servant of God who carries the gospel? The last time me and my wife, we went, they put us, and we were traveling until we arrived Australia. Aye! They said, this is the end of the world. When we landed, I said, my wife, we're in Australia. He said, you know, it looks funny. I said, Bilia Kani. Aroko. And God has brought us here. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel. As I see you sitting before the Lord tonight, as men and women, custodians of the gospel, what will you do with it? How will you handle the gospel? Will you be on the pulpit and you will be preaching nonsense? Will you be wasting people's opportunity? Paul said, God has not sent me to preach with eloquent words because I don't want to make the cross of non-effect. I don't want to waste the opportunity of preaching Jesus and Him crucified. Because that is the power of God for changing men. 2 weeks ago, or last week, sir, students and youth were gathered there in their thousands and the gospel. And I saw the gospel wrestling with young lives. I saw the gospel. I saw notorious drug addicts. Those that came deliberately who have been stealing. I saw the gospel arresting them. Coming out in tears. Bringing what they have been smoking. Dropping it, and the brothers were burning it. The gospel. What CIA, intelligent officers, policemen, what they cannot do? The gospel. Do you take for granted the gospel? Do you treat lightly the call of God on your life? As you have come during this week, two things I'm begging God to do. May the Lord sharpen your heart. May the Holy Spirit give you a fresh vision so that you will preach Christ and preach Him with all your strength. That you yourself, having experienced the crucified life, you will have nothing else to do than to preach Him crucified, who is the hope of mankind, who is the answer to the problem of our generation. He now says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yes, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. This night, while I want to welcome you, can I ask you tonight, how do you treat your call? How do you handle the call of God on your life? Do you trample on it? Or do you magnify it? There are three ways in which I could speak about taking the call of God for granted. Trampling on the call of God. The sons of Eli, they trampled upon the call of God on their lives. First, by not honoring their own personal consecration to God. By taking the grace of God on their lives for granted. By not putting a demarcation between the clean and the unclean. By living recklessly. My dear brother and sister, I welcome you. But should I ask you, are you a man of God in the pulpit? And you are secretly living in sin. You don't value the call of God. The call of God didn't mean much to you. The word of God you carry doesn't have weight for you. How can you be the man who is God's own mouthpiece? And at the same time, you are the one who is also a slave of sin. How could one mouth be blessing and the same mouth is cursing? How can there be sweet water and bitter water from the same source? How will you stand on the pulpit and say, oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus be upon you all, and people believing that you're a man of God, they are saying, amen, amen, amen. Some will do their hand like this, collect your prayer, put it on their chest like this. Because they just believed that what you are saying is going to translate into blessing. But look at yourself in the secret. Look at what you are doing. How you made yourself vile and ordinary. As some men of God, they are not ashamed to unzip themselves before a useless girl. That means you don't understand. You don't value the call of God on your life. You tramp on it. In which other way will a man treat lightly the call of God, the privilege of being God's servant? The sons of Eli, they took the privilege of the altar, they took it for personal advantage. They sought their personal pleasure before God, who called them, was pleased. They forgot that even just to touch the work of God was only a privilege that God was allowing them to have. What did they do? They took it lightly. They thought that it was now their own opportunity to eat and to collect special meat. Have you dishonored the call of God by using the pulpit only to gather things around yourself, to talk more about yourself and talk less of the man of Calvary? Are you more concerned about your own convenience and your own remuneration and your own achievement and your own pleasure and your own satisfaction at the expense of him who called you? You are not understanding the gravity of the privilege. You know it touches me. If the gospel was not given to me, who am I that people like you should listen to me? Who am I? Who am I? And I see how sometime I will go to a meeting. These are professors. These are important persons, you know, old and very important in the community and all of that. And when you want to preach, they will adjust their goggle and say, who is that boy? But because I knew the power of the gospel, I just say, bow your head and let us pray. Let's give honor to the Lord, our maker. Actually, I want all of you to stand up. And they will stand up. If I say lift up your two hands, they will do so. Because they believe I am standing on behalf of God. They will do so. If I'm preaching for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, they will be there. If I were not having the gospel, do you have audience with a politician? Talk to me. Look at how many form you will feel. Even for the man to say, yes, who are you? Where are you coming from? Yes, who sent you here? And then you'll be shivering to talk to him. But on the pulpit, he's the one shivering to hear you. And how could you now take that pulpit and you are doing nothing than just talking about yourself? I want you to enter into this cleric this year with a critical need. It has become too costly to come to Boko because the road is bad, everything is difficult, but you have come. Something must happen to you. And what is the third way? By which a man could trample upon his call, by not preaching the message. You see this pulpit? It's not a place to say anything if it is not to preach Christ. When you come to that pulpit, there's only one thing that you are men supposed to do. To do what? To preach Christ and Him crucified. To now come to the pulpit and begin to display how much English you know, and to be speaking big things so that people are clapping for you. You have missed the point. If you don't preach Christ, you have trampled upon this privilege of the call of God. So tonight, we're going to call on God together. First, I wanted to say, thank you for calling me, Lord. Thank you for including me. Thank you for putting my name among those that have found favor in your sight, as to put them into the ministry. But Jesus said to his disciples, don't even rejoice about that. I want you to thank God that your name is in the book of life. That is even bigger than the fact that demons are subject to you. As we call on God tonight and you are saying, Lord, I have come, would you like to say to God, the privilege of being a preacher, the privilege of being in the ministry, the privilege of being called to handle the gospel, Father, if I've trampled upon it, I want you to please forgive me. If I have broken my quiet consecration, if my life has no longer, if I don't hold my life dear as a life that has been handed over to God, dedicated to God, and for Him alone, if I find myself sharing my life with something else, Father, I'm sorry. I just need you to help me tonight. Do something new with me. Do something deliberate. Do something eternal with my life. We're going to pray together. And I don't think it is too early for you to begin to say, Lord, please renew my faith. Please restore my fire. Please, Lord, maybe I forgot that it was not my qualification, it is your mercy that brought me here. Maybe I took it for granted that you put me in the work and I started misbehaving. Lord, please have mercy on me. Church members may not be able to talk to you like this because you are already a terror to them. You forgot that grace brought you here. So we'll go to God in prayer. And that prayer, I want you to join me as we pray before Him. You're going to join me in that prayer. And the song of prayer, Jesus my Lord, to you I cry. Unless thou save me, I must die. Oh, bring thy free salvation nigh, and take me as I am. Hymn number 7. We'll just take that song and pray together with it. Will you please rise as we call on God together?
Take me as I
As I am until as I am until me as I am as I am I only play Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am. Helpless I am, a fool. Oh, give but yet for me thy blood was split. Can't make me what thou wilt, and take me as I am, as I am, and take me as I am, and take me as I am. As I am, I own, only play Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am. No prayer. Oh, my best resource, I owe only bread. Yes, set me for thy own name's sake, and take as I am, and take me as I am, as I am, and take me as I am, I own only play Jesus. Oh, take me as. Now, before we take that stanza four, he said, behold me, Savior, at your feet. Deal with me as thou seest meet. Thy work begin, thy work complete, but take me as I am. We will sing that song, that stanza four, three times. And if this night, while we are all praying and crying to God for ourselves, without bothering with anybody, you want to say, behold me at your feet. This is how I am. I forgot the greatest privilege that you offered me. I took my call lightly. It didn't matter to me anymore. My consecration I have scattered. As we take the song this second time, before we finish, you may just want to come to the altar, this altar, and say, Lord, look at me. I have come to Boko this year. I can't go back struggling. This ministry to which you have called me, I must not make a shipwreck of it. I don't want anything that will make me a regret to heaven. Let God not say, I regret calling him into this work. I gave him a great privilege, but he trampled upon it. Behold me, Savior, at thy feet. Deal me out. Thou seest me. Thy work begin, thy work. Oh, authority. God bless you. I say, just come before the Lord. As I am, take me. Take me as I am. As I am, God bless you. God bless you. O Lord, my Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh God. Oh, take me as. We do this song one more time if you are coming, please do so. Behold me. Look at me at your feet, Lord. Deal with me as thou seest me. I need help now, Lord. Thou seest me. Thy work. Begin thy work. Complete. Take me as I am. As I am. God bless you. Is God saying to you, even tonight, let God begin his work. Even tonight, God, don't let me return the way I've come. Oh, no, my own. Only play Christ down for me. Oh, take me out. Now finally we all lift up our hands to God. Behold me, Savior, thy fade away. Day with me as thou seest me. While we are taking that song, can I ask Bishop Eze, our right reverend Eze, please come forward and help us to pray tonight. And commit us to the Lord. Take me as I am. As I am. Oh, take me, Lord. Do something new in my life. This cleric must become a revival for me. My call must not be lost. My space in the ministry, let no one else take. Let me not become a mere noisemaker. Lord, do a new thing in my heart. Go through my secret life tonight and take me as I am. As I am, Lord. As I am, and take me. Oh God, please lift up those hands to heaven and say, Lord, take me as I am. Lord, we are here as your servant. We are here, Lord, send us here particularly. Do a new thing in our heart. Bring forgiveness to us, Lord. The cleansing of the blood.
Brother, we have just come at the right time. Our beginning is the correct beginning. He who seeth all hearts, who searcheth and seeth all hearts, who understands us, is bringing us back to himself. Back to himself. Oh Lord. Our God, you know us, you know our sickness, you know, oh Lord, you have told us how and where you picked us. Oh my God, we have come at this time to say, except you do the first thing in our life again, we are finished, oh Lord. The first thing you need Lord, we are grateful. We are so grateful that we have this opportunity to be in your presence once more, to be called back to you again. Lord God Almighty, we are asking this time, O Lord, your hands that are so open to receive us back. Great God, that we have come, that he who called us, who nurtured us, who gave us a place, is taking us back again. We want to thank you, gracious Lord. We want to praise you because no man can do this for us. No one can do this for us. Lord, these are your servants. I ask, O God of heaven, that as the heavens are open to receive us, to receive us, to restore us, to flush out all the debris that have closed our eyes, that have taken hold of our hearts, that has so much misled us that we don't remember where we are coming from again. That this night, by the blood of Jesus, by that cleansing power, that will be cleansed tonight and rededicated to you again and become again, Lord, we cry for that thing we saw from beginning. That thing that made us to say is only God. That thing that made us to say bye-bye to the world. Lord, we pray that that fire will come again. That fire will come again. That you, merciful God, you, our Father, who is so merciful, who is rich in mercy, we have mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus Christ. And as we have come to cry to you, the door of mercy will be open to us. The God of heaven, that as we have started, the fire will be on our bones again. Lord God Almighty, we are holding as treasure what you have given to us, what you have called us to hold. Lord, there cannot be any best thing in the world than what you have called us to hold. We are asking, Lord God of glory, that we stand at the right place and to do the right thing, for you are capable that to do it. And you who called us, you are able to do it. Even this night, to say to our past is past, to say our past is gone, to say all those things that clustered in our hearts are gone, to all those things, Lord, that made us to swerve from the way are gone. In the name of Jesus Christ, that in this place of renewal, our covenant have been renewed. Our call have been renewed. Our vision of you have been renewed. Never, never to turn back to those things that we have already turned back to. We are not going to swim in those bad water again. Lord, you have called us. You have washed us. Help us never again to be like the pig that we wash and return to the depths. Never to be like the dog that we vomit and return to its vomit. In the name of Jesus, that power that held us from beginning, we ask for it. That grace that held us from beginning, we ask for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Lord. you, Father, for charging us, for beginning with us. Ah, Lord, this fire will not go out. This fire, until we see you face to face, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, gracious Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.